Welcome to Musically and Technically Speaking, a podcast where music and technology intersect, hosted by Brenda Minch and Carol Bros. Today's topic: composing on the screen or composing on paper?
Hello, Brenda.
Hey, Carol, we got someone new with us tonight.
I know! We have a third person, and we actually figured out how to do a conference call.
I know, it's so very exciting.
And we'll introduce her. Well, she can introduce herself.
Jennifer. Hi, I'm Jennifer.
Clarinet Jen.
Yes.
So, Jennifer, tell us a little bit about where you teach and what grades you teach.
I teach in Burr Ridge, Illinois, at a small private school district. I do 3rd through 8th grade music and choir.
Excellent. And how long have you been teaching?
I'm finishing up my 6th year. I was a band director for 4 years, and this is my 2nd year at the district doing classroom music and choir. Ooh. So I've switched sides.
One of us. Yeah, and we met her online, too. Wasn't that, that's how we did. We met her online, Brenda.
Yes, through Twitter, I think. No, was that Plurk? I don't remember.
Through Plurk.
Plurk, okay.
Yeah, Plurk, yeah. Yes. She doesn't Twitter, she only Plurks.
Not on Twitter.
Do you Twitter?
Okay. Yeah, she does Twitter.
I follow both of you on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I see most of your stuff on Plurk. That's
yes.
I tend to hang out in Plurk a little bit more than Twitter. Yeah, and then we got to meet her at IMEA.
Yes, up close and personal last year, this past January.
Yeah, face to face.
Now, this next year, we have to make sure that we all, get together to, eat a meal.
Yes.
This last year, we didn't just kind of, introduce ourselves, but this year we have to get together and, hang out a little bit more.
And we will. I mean, and I had a wonderful day today. I went down an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes down way south and met with another general music teacher. He teaches 6th through 8th grade, David Wonder, and that is, yes, his last name is Wonder. And he was amazing. He doesn't have that much tech in his room, but he does some tech stuff, and he was just amazing. It was really cool. So we're going to try to get a fourth person. That's going to be we're always looking for new techies.
That's right. When you say you went way down south, because I know you're from the burbs, so where exactly did you go?
I went down to Frankfort, Illinois.
Okay.
And he lives actually in Kankakee.
Okay, that is not way down south.
Honey, I'm 3 miles from the Wisconsin border.
Okay. That's not way down south. That's a federal state.
From where I am, it's south.
Well, okay.
So it was really cool. I mean, I left at 6 in the morning. I got down there at 10 of 8. So, but it was a great day. It was very cool. I like going to other schools and seeing other people. So it's sort of, it was nice.
Well, I kind of thought tonight we could discuss composing a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Is everyone cool with that?
Yeah, it's the perfect time for me because I'm doing it right now with my kids.
All right. Well, Jennifer, maybe you'd like to talk a little bit then about what issues you've kind of been having with composing. I think what I'd like to start talking about was the pros and cons of doing composing on paper or the pros and cons of doing composing on the computer. So, Jennifer, would you like to talk about that?
Sure. I am in the process of doing a composing unit with my 4th graders. We've been playing recorders for the past few months, and one of our goals was to have each of them compose a melody for their instrument that they would play and we would record. And then if we had time, we would take that melody and import it into GarageBand and use some of the Apple loops and come up with some background tracks for the kids and then make a CD of every student's composition and have it for the end of the year.
Wow.
So, and we're quickly running out of time.
So how far have you gotten on it?
Some students are pretty much done and are ready to record. I have some students it's taking longer. A lot of it has been depending on their own personal music level. The students that have been in band or take private lessons are moving much quicker than students where their only music is with me once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have been doing it so far on paper, and I've definitely noticed some pros and cons to paper versus computer and some challenges we've run into. And right now I'm trying to find a good program that would work well for that age level.
Right.
Right. Right. And that's hard because, you know, when they have to do it on paper, you have to really talk about meter and how to write notes, and brings in a whole nother, because I've done that too. And then the computer just does it for itself.
Yes.
So you don't have to talk about it, but yet then the kids can't really, they don't really know how to draw notes then. So
exactly.
There's pros and cons on that.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, in the computer, when they put in the notes, they can actually hear the melody as they're putting it in. But I've even noticed on paper, I have students that are putting notes that are way beyond the range of what they can play on the instrument. And so we've had to talk about that as well. But yeah, I've had a lot of interesting meters coming through when I've checked their rhythm sheets. So.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We've gone from like 5-4 to 9-8 to.
Right.
So.
I want to ask you, do the kids come up with their melody first and then try to put it down, or do they write their notes first and then try to play it?
I did it with the rhythm first, and okay. Then we add the melody. And I had some students who already had a really clear idea. And if they did, we talked about it individually. I let them skip ahead. It's, once again, usually the students who are more advanced musically. But I thought starting with one small section, just the rhythm, would help for those mm-hmm. who have no idea what they want to do.
So you broke it down into smaller tasks so they weren't overwhelmed by it.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So, and that has seemed to work. I've had a few students, I'm trying to think, from yesterday who actually were getting kind of frustrated that they weren't sure what to put down, and I said, just try something and clap it out, and I gave them a couple tips or suggestions, and then they were fine. I think they just needed a starting point.
And they have their instruments with them?
Yep, and they can play, they can clap and count.
Yeah.
It's very noisy.
Right, right. You I think that's the key. You mm-hmm. can't just give kids a piece of paper and say compose. It doesn't mean anything. You've got to have an instrument, whether it's, you know, even their hands or their mm-hmm. or a glockenspiel or their instrument or something. You can't just expect them to put something on paper if they can't test it out.
Exactly. And I always do that with my kids. Even with my sixth graders right now, we've been studying music of Africa, and they're composing in small groups using some of the instruments that we have in class. But I told them that they had to first, like, write the rhythm down, you know, and they can practice it as much as they want using anything that they can use themselves. So they couldn't grab mm-hmm. instruments. they clapped, they tapped, they patted, they stomped, everything else. So, but then they get to use instruments when they do that.
Mm-hmm. And then they perform these?
Yes, they do. And I'll actually be videotaping them.
Oh,
for their performance.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And I didn't even know this. Do you have a website that you put this up on?
I don't yet. We're in the process of trying to find the best way for our district to share things like this. And I actually have been meeting with our assistant superintendent to kind of finalize that, because it hasn't come up really in the past, and I'm kind of breaking down barriers as I go, I think.
Yeah, that's a whole other show we could talk about.
Please.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of questions.
Brenda's laughing because we both had issues, but.
Well, yeah. But I think maybe Carol and I maybe didn't take the most direct route, Jen. When we got frustrated with our district, we just said, forget it, we're making our own webpage.
I've actually thought about doing that, but, I mean, we have a district webpage. I have my own webpage on there,
uh-huh.
And
right.
We're just trying to think of the best way.
Yeah.
I mean, I can record them with just audio and just put their first names on there, or even just put group one, group two, group three. And I mean, that's fine to post it.
Okay. So the issue they're having is that you're putting their actual image up.
Yeah. We're not allowed to do that. So I'll probably just record it with, the flip camera or something like that for our own
right.
things.
Right.
And then at the same time, we'll record it, using my laptop and the Snowball microphone. And then we can put that audio file online.
Okay.
So. Okay.
But you are at least discussing with your assistant superintendent that, you know, we need to at least think about why we can't put images up on the net. Because I don't know. I have issues with that. That's just a me thing, I think, though. Like, I think you should be able to put that stuff up.
Yeah, I do too. So that's another show, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had conversations with several other teachers. But yes, I definitely, there's lots to talk about that one too.
Right, right. But yeah, the composing thing, we compose all the grades compose. Mm-hmm. And the fourth grade, like I said, they have to compose for their band instrument. And I have the same thing where some of these kids write these notes that are just way out of their range. And here they've been taking band all year. It's interesting that they don't sometimes connect on how hard something is.
Mm-hmm.
And here they've been playing all these notes. It's interesting how the connect doesn't work that way.
But it's also interesting that if they composed it, that they're more willing to figure out a few extra of those notes because they wrote music.
I've had students that have actually taken out their, I have to go get my band book, I got to look up the fingerings, which is just hilarious. You know, here you are, they're like checking out new fingerings because they have this little composition in their mind and they are going to play it. I mean, it's going to happen. And it's funny how they just spend, time. I actually, right before I left on my sabbatical, I took a little video of all my kids playing their songs. You talk about, loud. All them playing their sounds, playing their different songs. And they're just focused, trying to get this, to work, in my little classroom. So it's I think it's a great experience, And fourth grade's perfect for that, I think.
Yeah, and go ahead, sorry.
No, go on.
I was going to say, they're fearless at that level. They're so willing to take risks, and I see that more than I do at the middle school level, where they're not as willing to share their stuff, or you have to find that safe environment for them. Fourth grade, they're willing to do anything.
Right.
Well, yeah, I have this thing. I think once middle of fifth grade and sixth grade, you have to get them to sing solos, play instruments, do composing. All of that has to be done before... middle of fifth grade to sixth, because if you just start it in sixth grade,
forget it.
It's really mm-hmm. difficult. But if you get them doing it in fourth and fifth, they're over the hump and they'll do anything in junior high.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how if you get them on that path early in fourth and fifth grade and you have them singing solos and playing their instruments and writing songs and you have them doing all that stuff, it's a breeze in junior high. But if you have to just do it in sixth grade, it's really, really difficult.
Yeah, that's one thing I love. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's one thing I love about my district. I teach third through eighth grade, so I already have a relationship with the kids and that connection, and I can start them early and continue what our other music teacher does, who does the younger kids. And I've noticed, especially being my second year in the district, the kids that have known me longer feel a lot more comfortable, even being a little older.
And see, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes, even if they had a teacher who did, ask them to sing and play by themselves in fourth and fifth grade, just the change of teacher and a new environment will be enough to make them insecure again.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to start that process over.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, I'm lucky. I teach 4-H, so I try to get them over the hump, So
here's what I have noticed when I am... composing with my little guys, like my second and third grade kids, if I put them on paper and ask them, usually when I do it, I do like Jen, and I'll start them with, I'll say, make a rhythm and then add some notes to it. I find that if they do it pencil and paper, they are figuring out the notes and the rhythm. Whereas if I let them do it on the computer, it ends up that the computer teaches the song to them instead of them learning the song. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's one of the things I've kind of been struggling with is because I can teach them how to draw a quarter note and an eighth note. That's not that hard. And I could teach them how to, what the difference between a line note and a space note is. But I guess I'm struggling with, is there value in figuring out for yourself that quarter, quarter, eighth, 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 eighth goes 1, 2, 3, and 4, and as opposed to something else that you think it should do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because as you talk about that, because for years I did what Jen did, where I didn't have computers and the kids had to write the stuff out and la di da da da, and we wrote a whole thing and put a whole book together, and the kids got to play all the different songs and did all that. And then when I went to computers, I don't do the paper pencil. They go right to the computer and do it. And my thing is, my biggest problem is doing that, they all do quarter notes. It drives me nuts.
Why do you suppose that is?
The quarter note is, and I try to explain to them, and then we go over that rests are just as important. And we talk about, okay, pick a number between 1 and 4 and put a rest on the third beat, or put whatever number they pick. And boy, when that happens, their eyes just brighten up and they see the patterns. It's really amazing.
I love that idea. I've never thought about that, like, it that way. Because I have the same thing with the fourth graders right now. It's just nothing but notes. And I have a couple of kids that are doing rests, but for the most part, it's just fill the paper with as many notes as I can fit in.
Right. I explain the crayon method. You know, when you draw a picture, have you heard me talk about the crayon? Crayon thing is, you know, you give someone draw a picture and you give them a box of crayons, say draw a picture. They don't pick every crayon. So I say to the kids, well, then you don't pick every note. You know, it's the same concept. You want to have a lot of rest, and from 1 to 4, pick a note, and they'll say like 3. So I said, okay, every third beat you have a rest. And they pull those notes out right away, and they don't change anything else. And boy, the song sounds fabulous, pulling that one note out in every third or second or first or whatever beat it is, you know. And then I'll say, okay, now pick another number, and that's where you're going to put your double, you know, you're going to put those eighth notes on. And I know it's sort of programmed, but then they sort of get the idea, and then I said, now you can mix it all up. And it really sort of gets them on the idea of thinking in counts, and it also gets them thinking about rests and quarter notes and eighth notes and other notes. Because I'm telling you, I get this thing going where I'm serious. Da 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 da, and it's over and over again. All quarter notes, and it has no articulate, nothing. And it's, you know, after about the fifth measure, I say, okay, stop. You know, I can't hear anymore. I mean, I try. I used to, in the olden days, I used to sit there and listen to it because I thought, oh, I have to listen to the whole song. I don't do that anymore. I just, you know, when I hear it and it's like goes on forever, you know, I guess, you know, you get better on it each time. You know, each time you do a little composition project. Don't you find that, Brenda?
I'll be honest, Carol, I don't hit the composition projects as often as I should. And when I do them, I tend to make them very, like, teeny weeny tiny. So I don't know. I guess I don't feel like I have enough experience in this particular area to answer that question.
Well, Brenda, you know what? Surprise, surprise. I only do one composing project a year, and it lasts for almost 2 weeks, and that's it.
Seriously?
Maybe 6 class periods at best. Uh-huh.
Wow.
And then the kids that really compose, you know, my Vermont Meaty kids, those are in a whole other category. They go on and they do tons. But my general population kid, they do one composition a year, and that's all. Because it takes a lot of work. You know this, Jen. You know, you're sitting with each kid. I mean, every single composition, it's every single one is different. It's every instrument is different. I mean, it has brings so many different problems in. So, yeah, I mean, and you want to give time to it, you know. I mean, the issue is having the student that is the piano band kid that's done in one day, and the other kid is still trying to figure out what a treble clef is.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's the balancing.
Yeah, I've tried to, you know, with the students that have a lot more experience, try to challenge them to the next level by doing additional things, whether it be adding additional measures. A lot of my kids this year have just done that on their own, where they're like, oh, I'm going to make mine longer, or, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to actually have a friend of mine do a duet part, so she's going to be my guest artist for part of it.
Oh, I love it. You have a guest artist.
Guest artist. Fine. I got to remember that one. That's a good one.
I have a group of 2 girls in one class in particular, and they said that phrase. It wasn't me. They said she's going to be the guest artist on mine. I wish I had a video or like a voice recorder right then and there to capture that moment.
Oh, is that funny? See? They think of themselves as little artists.
Yeah, and it's been really neat to watch them and just to watch them grow with this. I'm learning as I go, and I've learned I need to start it a little bit earlier because we're not going to finish before the end of the school year. But one other cool thing I told the kids is they have me next year in 5th grade, so if we at least get it recorded this year, we can do the GarageBand portion next year because I'll save all their files.
Right. Well, you know what? That might even be better because, you know, it's nice to sort of, especially composition, it takes so much time. It's better to break it up.
Yeah. And Brenda, I had an idea because you were talking about rhythm issues with your younger kids.
Uh-huh.
And with my 3rd graders, we actually are doing a rhythm unit. And in the past with the 2nd graders, what they did is the music teacher had, like, wrote some rhythms out, and they had to write the counting and then perform them. But we just copied the rhythm book from the band that they use with the band program, because they'll do band next year, so it actually gets them used to the book early. And they write the whole sheet, and they have to count and clap two lines for me, and it really helped them get the 1, 2, 3, 4. But they couldn't go on. Like, level one was pretty much quarter notes and half notes. Level two added eighth notes. And level three, which was optional, had 16th notes.
Ooh, okay.
To pass a level, we had to check the counting. I have some students where, because of learning issues or things, they only have to do half the page or a certain portion. But it got them used to the counting, as well as counting and clapping with a steady rhythm. And we do rhythm cards every day in class, too, which I've noticed has helped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I found, you know, it's interesting. When I was at Vermont Media, you know what they do? They get, they put together a rhythm bank where kids like certain rhythms, and they keep a bank. And so kids can go to the rhythm bank on little cards to find rhythm that they like.
That's what we were going to do, because this year I'm team teaching third grade. I have too many classes.
Yeah.
Music became too popular in middle school, and I didn't have enough plan. But we were going to actually do that, where they could take rhythms from whatever level and, you know, take one that they liked and put it together and then assign notes to it. We ran out of time. So we'll do that next year in fourth grade.
Right.
So once again, continuing from year to year.
Right. And that's the luxury we have.
Yeah, yes. That is one of the perks of being a music teacher, is that you don't just see them for a year and pass them on. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you would like more information on any of the topics we discussed, all the links are on the blog.